You've heard me talk for years about the breakthrough health benefits of CBD. Now, our friends at CV Sciences have developed an innovative suite of non-CBD products that mimic CBD's healthful effects. CV Sciences' new Plus Health CBD-free line of gummies and capsules. The Plus Health Clarity gummies are packed with DMAE, lion's mane, and rhodiola designed to boost your cognitive performance, enhance memory, and provide natural energy. You need a little peace and calm? Plus Health's Peace Gummies, soothing blend of L-theanine, lemon balm, and St. John's wort support serenity and relaxation without the drowsiness. And if you're on a journey towards optimal health, the Reshape capsules are packed with powerful ingredients like berberine and OEA to support metabolic health and help maintain healthy blood sugar levels. For more information and to order, head over to pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman. Use coupon code Hoffman30. For 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for the new Plus Health non-CBD collection. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly opportunity to field your questions. Questions come to questions at drhoffman.net. With me today, as usual, is Layla Newton. She's our resident nutritionist, and together we answer your questions. We got, thanks to you listeners, quite a full mailbox of questions. So how you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman, how are you?
Okay, well, I'm sort of fighting seasonal affective disorder because today was an unusually gloomy, misty day in New York,
yes.
Diminishing the little amount of daylight that we have. We're close to the point in time where we have the shortest day of the year, which I guess
yes.
is officially December 21st, and that mm-hmm. is the winter solstice.
Yeah.
And in addition, we just had a really cloudy, misty day.
And it's so foggy, I can't even see the Manhattan skyline.
Right. And I am suffering from sunlight deprivation today.
Yeah.
So I tried to, you know, what are some of the ways to overcome that? I wake up and I have, my SED light on, and I read a little bit before I get up, exposing myself to the light. And then I have all the curtains and drapes pulled up, so there's as much light as possible. Fortunately, I have a fairly lit apartment, so much so that on a sunny day in midwinter, it actually gets quite warm. I've got to sometimes pull down the shades to keep the apartment from roasting. But today was no such day.
Winter.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
yeah.
So, right. Okay. So gloomy weather. What else is new? I have before we get to questions. I have an article that I want to tee off on in the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, just to put it in perspective, the Wall Street Journal is kind of a center-right publication. It is fairly hospitable to the Republican Party. And although it has expressed doubt over whether Trump would be a good representative of the Republican Party, there's a lot of what can be termed never-Trumpers. On the Wall Street Journal editorial staff. Nonetheless, it is not hostile to this new administration, but there's a headline here that I want to take issue with. Meet the Trump nominee selling vitamins on the side. Kind of a snarky headline right there. Yeah. And so they highlight Dr. Jeanette Nesiwat, if that's the pronunciation, Trump's pick for Surgeon General, who sells her own line of vitamins. Kash Patel, Trump's choice to lead the Federal Bureau of Investigation, recommended pills on Truth Social in February that he said could, quote, rid your body of the harms from COVID-19 vaccines. Mehmet Oz, the TV personality whom Trump named to lead the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, promotes supplements sold by online retailer iHerb. He's advertised multivitamin supplements for, quote, brain power. I think those are Dr. Evil quotes. And fish oil pills that he said, quote, probably slowed the progression of his mother's Alzheimer's disease. Doctors and public health experts said close ties between Trump's nominees and supplement makers could give more leeway to an industry that is lightly regulated and sells products that are largely unproven. So here's my take on that. Since when did association with sale of vitamins and supplements and herbs become a badge of dishonor, right?
Exactly.
You know, and
when did it ever?
Because I'm an enthusiastic purveyor of vitamins and supplements. And
yes,
And so does that somehow decredibilize me if I were to, say, go for a government job or somehow try to be part of the mainstream scientific establishment or medical establishment? Well, I guess it does. It still does these days because it carries a pejorative connotation. And I wonder if the same applies to nominees who have ties to the drug industry or doctors who own shares in pharmaceutical companies or who receive honoraria from drug companies. Is that not an implicit conflict of interest? Or I guess that's okay because that's right, mainstream medicine, right?
That's how it's always been.
Yeah.
And you have to presume that that's how they would want it to continue to be.
Exactly. So sounds kind of swampy in terms of the swamp that kind of
needs to be drained.
Needs to be drained when it comes to bias against natural therapies. They quote a guy from the notorious Center for Science in the Public Interest, a so-called nutrition and health advocacy group. The problem with the Center for Science in the Public Interest is they were the main impetus behind abandoning natural saturated fat and encouraging the use of trans fats as a substitute in fried fast foods. So that's not exactly a feather in their cap. And in addition, they've never met a supplement that they liked. They're very vociferously anti-supplement. And they said, here's the quote that they cherry-picked for this article in the Wall Street Journal. The striking number of nominees with interest in the supplement industry speaks to a hostility to conventional scientific thought. That's BS. That's BS.
It is BS.
When we talk about supplements, does that evince a hostility to conventional scientific thought? I mean, we always cite scientific evidence and muster the most rigorous knowledge base to argue for the efficacy of natural products and not in an indiscriminate way, because there's some products that frankly are BS, you know, that, and we'll call them out here on this program.
Yeah.
It's about first doing no harm. It's about giving the treatment, whatever that may be, whether conventional or alternative. Are we even using the term alternative anymore? Complementary medicine, integrative medicine. The first do no harm, the least amount of side effect, the way to help your body naturally to right itself.
Exactly.
Rather than come in and bombard it with something that'll have other effects downstream.
And here's another quote from a guy at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, which is, I mean, every study that they come out with.
I think there's some kind of shill for the whole. Yeah. They are so anti-nutrition.
Yeah, they're very much anti-meat. They're very much in favor of, you know, the meatless, plant-based diet. Every study that they undertake is riven with conflicts of interest from, you know, Archer Daniels Midland and various companies that make faux meats. Beyond Meat, in fact, is one of their major contributors. And they have this to say: there are almost no controls on what this industry is doing, says S. Bryn Austin, a professor of social and behavioral sciences. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not a professor of social and behavioral science. I'm actually an MD with specialization in nutrition. And I think I can speak to this issue and this industry with better qualifications than a professor of social and behavioral sciences. You know, and this is what the kind, you know, the kind of stuff that passes for, you know, major reporting. But there's actually some interesting things in this article. They say that supplement industry groups said they were compiling a wish list to share with people close to Kennedy, RFK Jr. They want supplements to be covered by the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, the Federal Food Benefits Program. Is there really a problem with that? I mean,
I don't see a problem with that.
And they also want, you know, like these FSAs to cover supplements.
Yeah. And HSAs, health spending accounts, flexible spending accounts for health, they should be covering that.
How is that a bad thing?
Never.
Yeah.
No, it was never a bad thing. It should be a thing. It should be done. Absolutely.
Yeah. Jordan Libowitz, a spokesman for this organization, get the name of this organization, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. But that sounds like a great idea, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. He has this to say: there does seem, with this incoming administration, to be more hawking of products than we are used to seeing. Hawking of products. So, you know, I don't think that, you know, and by the way, our ambassador to Israel, you know, Huckabee, he regularly appears on cable TV, quote, hawking a natural product for sleep and relaxation called Relaxium, you know. He's famous for he really is into natural supplements. But does that somehow disqualify him? You know, like, are they going to call him up on, you know, on his, in his confirmation hearing and say, oh, you know, you've support a dubious supplement, vitamin supplement, you know?
Right. What's up with you and Relaxium? You imagine,
like, how could they possibly, like, something that actually, a supplement that actually has an effect on mood and relaxation? That's got to be total witchcraft, right? So anyway, I think we have a long way to go, you know, in terms of convincing mainstream media that this is a legitimate industry. You know, I think that this administration is going to be criticized for including, quote, quackery in its health agenda. But I think we're just going to have to say, hey, you know, let's look at the double standard here. You know, when prominent celebrities and politicians are in the tank for the food industry, agribusiness, you know, the chemical industry, and the pharmaceutical industry, why is it that, you know, we can't be involved with the supplement industry? The supplement industry, by and large, is doing good. It's not like, you know, some sort of fraudulent enterprise.
Exactly. I think these are just the last efforts of mainstream medicine and pharmaceutical industry to, you know, just lash out against natural medicine.
Right. Methink they doth protest too much.
Yes.
Precisely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, so that's my screed of the day, because I just thought, man, that's not a good look. That's not a good look.
No.
So
on that note,
in order to underscore our conflicts of interest and our commercial ties, let me just introduce this segment in which we are about to, wait for it, folks, offer you a spot that promotes the use of nutritional supplements. So listen up. Here goes. Did you know that collagen makes up 30% of the protein in your body? It's the substance that gives structure, support, and strength to your skin, muscles, bones, and connective tissues. Collagen is what keeps our skin firm and youthful, preventing it from sagging. It also supplies amino acids that are crucial for building healthy hair and protecting hair follicles. The collagen supplement that I use and recommend to my patients is Revive by Bright Core Nutrition. Revive combines five types of collagen with hyaluronic acid and biotin to heal and nourish your skin, hair, and nails. Studies show that collagen also helps relieve joint inflammation and pain. If you're looking to heal your body from the inside out and reverse some effects of aging, Revive could be your answer. For more information and to order, visit mybrightcore.com/Hoffman. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman or call 888-592-9909. That's 888-592-9909. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, buy two bottles of Revive and get one free, plus a collagen sheet mask as a free gift. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman for Revive Multi-Collagen Protein. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They are what make Intelligent Medicine continuing resource for you. And in spite of the fact that they underwrite this program, we still call them as we see them. All right, totally. Let's take some questions.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, we've got a comment here from Joanna about one of your articles on what to make of Trump's other health picks. Mm-hmm. We're talking specifically Dr. Jeanette Nesiawat.
Mm-hmm.
And is she related to the lead singer from Creed? Is that her husband? He is actually her brother-in-law.
Oh.
Apparently, the lead singer from Creed is married to her sister, Jackie.
Okay. So, yeah, I thought that was actually a redeeming feature of this nominee.
Uh-huh.
Was that it was kind of cool that she was married to the lead singer of a grunge rock band, but
totally
apparently
right.
She's not.
She's not.
I think
that's it.
In my mind, that slightly delegitimizes her because I thought that was kind of cool. I got it wrong.
Kind of cool.
I got it wrong.
But they're...
I'm sorry.
Okay.
We've got a question here from Betsy. She's wondering about taking copper for energy. She says, I have chronic fatigue, which greatly affects my life. I've recently heard about some people taking copper supplementation with some success. Could it be that so many people were taking a lot of zinc during COVID and the ratio of it to copper got out of whack? I've always heard of copper in terms of a person having too much. And I'm a bit leery of taking it. So I just wondered if you've heard of it as a supplement for energy. Would it be safe to try in a small amount, say 1 milligram daily? Now, Betsy, it is true that if you have been overusing zinc, it's possible you may be low in copper, but it's a bit of a double-edged sword too, because too much copper, which you likely don't have, but too much copper can also cause some fatigue too. And this is based on a book I read about 20 years ago by Anne Louise Gittleman, who was like a distant mentor of mine.
Yep.
Like
and a frequent guest on Intelligent Medicine, too.
Yes. And I would be listening to all of those. So, you could try it, but if you're eating any beef or oysters, potatoes, mushrooms, sunflower seed kernels,
chocolate,
maybe
cocoa is rich.
Liver, chocolate,
cocoa.
All of that.
Yep.
You're getting copper.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have been... And what's interesting is I pulled this up on the Office of Dietary Supplements, .gov. It's a .gov. It's the National Institutes of Health. And what they do talk about is they found that some people who are taking high-dose zinc supplements, it can lead to a copper deficiency.
Yeah.
It may cause some reductions in red blood cell copper-zinc superoxide dismutase, which is a marker of copper status. Mm-hmm. And they show that if you were taking zinc, say about 60 milligrams a day, 60 milligrams a day for up to 10 weeks, it may lower your copper. Now, I'm sure people were taking a whole lot more zinc than that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about up to 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And there are people still taking zinc since 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
So, you know, there's a condition of excess copper. It's called Wilson's disease, and it's quite a devastating condition, which is genetic, and it can damage the liver. It can damage the sensory organs, and it is, you know, a dangerous condition. The primary treatment for it is to administer zinc at a high dose. And I believe the dose that's used to treat copper excess is 220 milligrams of elemental zinc per day. And that will gradually bring down the copper, but that's much more than you should take routinely. And so I think taking 30 or 50 milligrams of zinc with a varied diet that includes, as you mentioned, you know, seafood, especially shellfish, organ meats, but also nuts and seeds and cocoa and legumes and whole grains, mushrooms, even whole grains, potatoes, mushrooms, that, you know, have
avocado, have
a little bit of copper. Yeah, as long as you're not on a horrendous diet, you know, ultra-refined, ultra-processed foods, you should be okay. Now, 1 milligram of zinc, is it a milligram or a microgram? I think it's a milligram. A milligram.
If we're talking copper, it's micrograms.
Oh, it's micrograms.
Zinc is in milligrams. Yeah.
Let's be careful about that, because that's a thousandfold difference. So
absolutely.
1 milligram is 1,000 micrograms. So you don't really need copper is an ultra trace mineral.
It
don't
is.
Need much.
It is. So, you know, the RDA, which we really don't follow, the recommended dietary allowances for copper, generally in a female would be 19 plus years would be 900 micrograms. With pregnancy and lactations, 1,000 micrograms, which is 1 milligram. So that's why that 1 to 2 that we often see on a multivitamin is to balance out that zinc.
Okay.
Also make you in a supplement.
Got it.
Yeah. You know.
All right. So,
but there you go. I mean, Betsy, you could try, but there may be other things that are, if you have chronic fatigue, wow, that needs a workup.
I think that is one of those, you know, there's a saying in medicine, when you hear hoofbeats, don't think of zebras. Okay. In other words, there are more logical possibilities than something rather obscure, like a copper deficiency. There are so many more likely possibilities that should be looked at, as you suggest. And we can enumerate that, but I've actually written a whole book, Tired All the Time, How to Regain Your Lost Energy. And it filled, you know, 350 pages of possibilities. And, you know, there's a multitude of reasons for slowdown.
Is that book still available, Dr. Hoffman?
It is available.
Great.
But, you know, you can find it, you know, in used bookstores or online.
Very good.
Yep.
Very good. A place to start, Betsy. All right. I hope you feel better soon. Okay. Let's see here. Oh, this comes from Dave. Dave is wondering if he could take garlic pills to help his eosinophilic esophagitis. His EOE. Yeah.
Eosinophilic. Esophagitis. So
eosinophilic. Thank you.
Okay. So, around 25 or 30 years ago, I saw my first patient who had eosinophilic esophagitis, and nobody knew what to do for it. But I reasoned then that since it involved eosinophils, which are a reaction to an allergy or food intolerance, that it would help to put patients on a low food allergy diet, in other words, an oligoantigenic diet, eliminating the most common food culprits. And we can name them. You know, they're dairy, wheat, eggs, and so by and nuts, perhaps, right? So in doing so, the first person that I encountered, I said, well, okay, fine. You know, and first of all, it is a form of esophagitis. So I said, you know, take DGL, take some soothing agents, you know, marshmallow extract, you know, that powder that we use.
Slippery elm.
Things like that. But I also said, why don't you try an elimination diet? Now, this patient lived in Chicago And so it was like a one-off. You know, I think I saw her once, and then she wrote back, or no, she didn't write back because her mother was a patient. I said, well, how's your daughter doing? And she said, oh, she's doing enormously better, but she has to stick to the diet. She notices that she gets esophageal irritation if she goes off that strict diet. So this is a condition that responds, and now it's been recognized that it does respond to dietary restriction belatedly, you know, after I kind of took a shot at it before that was an official position of gastroenterologists and allergists. There are also some biological treatments that are used for this that kind of suppress the immune response. That's kind of new. Now, when it comes to garlic, garlic is a little bit caustic to the GI tract. And there are people who are intolerant to garlic. Now, the question is, will garlic help? It's doubtful, in my mind, that garlic will help. But the more important question, practical question, is if you are desirous of taking a garlic supplement, will it interfere with eosinophilic esophagitis? And the answer is maybe. You might have to test it out. But since pills generally are designed to bypass the esophagus, they go past the esophagus into the stomach, you know, maybe it's not a problem. You know, you could keep taking your chiolic aged garlic extract for its other benefits. It's not going to help the eosinophilic esophagitis, but it, you know, hopefully won't make it worse. But it is a garlic, I think, as a food is a potential culprit, right? It's kind of a sharp,
absolutely.
Spicy thing.
It can be irritant. It can be injured. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I would. Even in the food that Dave is eating, you don't want to go raw garlic. You want to cook it. You want to roast it. You want to something if you're having any garlic at all. So that might be simple. But
it reminds me that I now have skirt steak marinating, and I'm going to have it for dinner tonight.
Yum.
And it with like a lot of garlic cloves. You know, I just chopped up a bunch of garlic. But it's also being marinated in what is
some
it called?
Kind of vinegar?
It's not vinegar. There may be rice vinegar in this product, but it's sort of a it's kind of a substitute for soy sauce. What's that substitute called?
Oh, okay. Like liquid aminos?
Yeah, liquid aminos, that kind of thing. Yeah, which is a good marinade. Mm-hmm.
So it's just, yeah. Very, very.
Because, you know, skirt steak does require seasoning, and also it gets tenderized when you marinate it for a while.
Yes.
You can marinate it with vinegar, you can marinate it with lemon, because they have an acidic aspect to them. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Delicious.
Okay. So, Dave, good luck with that. You could take the garlic pills, but it's not necessarily going to do anything for the EOE.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep. Okay. We divide our podcast into two parts. So, Layla, give us a preview of what we're going to talk about in part two.
Oh, my goodness. We've got two people here, an 84-year-old and an 83-year-old, both with osteopenia.
Mm-hmm. So, we're going to take up that subject when we return.
Mm-hmm.
A common predicament, especially for women, but also for men. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's a weekly Q&A with Layla. Questions come to questions@drhoffman.net, and we're happy to have a full mailbox. And over the holidays, you know, perhaps you'll have a chance to sit down and contemplate what questions might be of interest to our audience. And you can send it to questions@drhoffman.net. We'll be right back with more of today's Q&A with Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.